morning. We were going to have a CD, but unfortunately we couldn't locate the one we wanted. So it seems like we'll just talk for a few minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes, if somebody would like to say something, and then we'll take some Krishna Prasadam. Joy. So, okay, so this is about the 27th year that we've been doing this festival. Can you believe it? 27 years. Ki Jai! There are some new faces in the crowd, so maybe I'll just repeat things that we've said within the last 26 years. I mean, you know, how many things can you say in 26 years? That's a long time. A long, long time. Who here is 27 years old? Well, actually younger than that. There's a lot of you that are younger than 27, right? Yeah, you weren't even born. Can you imagine? We've been doing this longer than you've been alive. That means that's scary. That's kind of scary. But there's a positive side, and that is it's always nice to glorify a wonderful devotee in Krishna consciousness. And since we're still here present on the planet, we can glorify this nice devotee that lived here in New Dwarka Dham and was a big part of this Krishna consciousness movement temple here. And that was Gauri Dasi. She played a very large part in the early days and helped in ways of like emotional support. She also helped in preaching, motivating, organizing, and even somewhat of a visionary. She actually had different kinds of ideas in order to spread Krishna consciousness, which is really wonderful. And of course, for myself and Tadit, why do we do this? Well, it was very important for us because Gauri was a very close friend of ours. We actually developed, although our friendship was from like a lot of times from a distance, but sometimes you just click with somebody. You know, it's one of those kind of things where you just kind of meet someone, you befriend them, and all of a sudden they're your friend for life kind of thing. So that was Gauri with us and with Tadit, myself. And, of course, she had other friends also. We weren't the only ones. But we were very fortunate because she developed cancer. And when she was going through her different stages of this disease, the devotees very nicely bought this set of deities here, Radha Govinda. I believe that they bought it from Govinda's gifts. I think the Govinda's gifts was down on the ground floor here at that time where the restaurant's located. That was like there was a little shop there, Govinda's. And so they had this set of deities there and they purchased them for her. And she worshipped these deities. And naturally they'd have to have the name Radha Govinda. So, anyway, she worshipped these deities. After some time, the cancer went into remission. So she was able to get up again and move around and do things. So I recall that when she was in that remission stage, she was traveling with Radha Govinda, and she happened to stop by the Denver Temple. It's like really a blast from the past. Tadit and I at one time used to live in the Denver Temple, along with Naikatma Prabhu lived there. We joined there. So she used to come through that temple, and she came with her team, her party, and we got darshan of Radha Govinda, and we had a very nice conversation with her, and she was really fired up, and she was taking these girls out to preach, book distribution, traveling, Sankirtan. Now, you know, traveling Sankirtan is pretty austere. If you ever lived in a van, has anybody ever done traveling Sankirtan? All right, so you know what it is like, right? You're in close quarters. Very close quarters. You can even, you know, it's so close that you can, if a devotee has bad breath, you can, that's how close you are. That close. Day in and day out. So that was what she was doing. It was very austere. And when we met her again at that time, she was really fired up. And she was really talking about preaching just constantly. I remember in Denver, I had several conversations with her, and it was always about preaching, about distributing Prabhupada's books, pleasing Srila Prabhupada, surrendering. Of course, if you're going through a life struggle, as she was, she became very serious. in her practice of Krishna consciousness. And it was kind of nice to be around an individual like that because, you know, we tend to get a bit lax in our Krishna conscious execution, naturally. We tend to get a little bit lax and we forget that we're going to actually die. And in those days, we were much younger. I was much younger. So 27 years ago, that was a long time ago. Long time ago. So you're a lot younger then, very enthusiastic. And then when you have someone come by and just tell you how, you know, fruitless this material world is and how we're all temporarily here, it rang with a lot of strength and a lot of, you know, truth. And I think that was really what kind of struck us about her in terms of her seriousness, and especially at that time. It's good, those of you that are in your youthful years at this stage of your life, you know, this is something very important to realize, that one day you will be old, if you get lucky to be old, really the way things are going these days. One day you'll reach that age, or that ripe age of 60s and 70s, and you'll realize how the material world is a very bereft place. There's nothing here really for any of us. And if you happen to meet such a person that can explain those things to you or tell you about them, take advantage of it. And I think that that's what really solidified the relationship between ourselves and Gauri Dasi. She really preached heavy. Of course, she always was preaching. My relationship with her goes back a few years previously to distribution of books in different places around the country. I'd meet her. She was an artist, so she was a, you know how artists are? Does anybody know artists, how artists are? They're emotional creatures. They have a lot of emotion. They like to, like, really exhibit their emotion. And she was kind of like that. She liked to really, you know, whenever she had your ear, didn't matter who you were, man, woman, or child. If she caught your ear, she gave you an earful. And it was always pretty nice. Very nice. It was some kind of instruction, some kind of story, some kind of preaching out of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And not to say that no one, that she didn't have her bad side. All of us do. There's none of us, not one of us in this room that doesn't have that little devil in you or us. And that little devil comes out periodically. But I think that the real point is the end goal. What was the end goal? The end goal was that she realized that she was going to die and leave this material world, this planet. And what did she do? She went to a place where very few ISKCON members, if any, went to leave this material world at that time. And that was Vrindavan Dham. Yes. One of the few members at that time. Really, we're all so young. I don't even know if any ISKCON devotee died in Vrindavan at that time. Is it? Yeah, I don't think so. That I know of, anyway. I could be wrong. But she went there, and, she, you know, if you've ever been in Vrindavan in the time of June, I mean, you can't imagine. It's like 140 degrees. There's no AC at that time. There was barely any electricity. Or to speak of trying to get AC. So there was no relief whatsoever. And she went there to leave this material world. That, I think, in itself speaks for her character and for her desire to do the right thing. And how many of us, you know, just analyze, how many of us are prepared to do that? Are we prepared to drop everything here if we actually knew one day that we had a terminal disease? Would we be able to drop everything and go to Vrindavan and just leave the planet there? That's a great soul. And she led the way, because up to that particular point, I don't think there's any ISKCON members that did that. And that in itself was a glorious activity. And in the course of her stay in Vrindavan, you know, when she first got there, she was still able to function. At a particular point, you know, that was getting worse, where she was getting bedridden. And before that, they you know, I think she had lymph cancer, right? And you know, they have to drain lymph cancer. You have to drain it. Now, we won't discuss that in front of the deities here, but you can just imagine the kind of situation they trained her with. It wasn't like being in Cedars-Sinai Hospital. Not even close. It was just like, you know, kind of like stab her and you know, kind of watch it drain into a bucket or something. That's how bad it was. And how painful it must have been. She wouldn't take any medication, no painkillers. And how painful must have that, what kind of pain is that? And it was so horribly hot, all they could do was take cold towels and put cold towels, wet towels, I don't even want to say cold, wet towels on her bed so that she could have some relief with a fan. And if the fan wasn't working, meaning the electricity, someone had to fan her. So that in itself speaks for her character. Amazing character, strong, fixed, and determined to leave this material world, go back home, back to Godhead. And that was her glory, I think. That was her glorious passing this world. So in that sense, Tadita and I, we wanted to take Radha Govinda and glorify, because she willed them to us. She asked us to take care of these deities. So we did, and we have been. And we wanted to take this opportunity to actually glorify her and her determination to go back to Radha Govinda, actually. And this is why we do this event, in order to keep this alive. And it's our 27th year, and every year it gets better, better and better. And when we see new faces in the crowd, we kind of like want to refresh you and let you know that why we do this. This is not like just a thing to come over here and just have Radha Govinda here so all you can see them, but it's part of it. But it's basically to keep alive a nice person, a nice devotee, who actually did a lot of nice service for Srila Prabhupada, who preached very vigorously, who was very dedicated, very sincere. Because you can't, Prabhupada said, you can't purchase a ticket to Vrindavan. It's not like you just, there's a deep meaning to that. One who actually goes to Vrindavan, it's only a sincere soul. This is what it's meant by that. Not like you just buy a ticket to go to Hawaii. It's not like that. To see the real Vrindavan, you cannot buy a ticket. To see the real Vrindavan, you need to get the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. To leave this planet in Vrindavan, you need the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. It's not an ordinary situation. It's not ordinary. People are dying every day, here, there, and everywhere. But to be able to have the opportunity to leave this planet in Vrindavan is an incredible, incredible mercy, incredible journey. I do know these days whenever I'm in a taxi and I'm driving down that Bhaktivedanta Marg, I keep thinking, one day, hopefully, if I'm lucky, maybe it'll be my last ride in a taxi. Maybe it'll get off that main road, you take that left, and you go down a few miles, and that may never be, you'll never go back up again. Because when you go back up, you go back into the material world. Isn't it? You were just in Vrindavan. Isn't it like that? You know, when you're leaving, you're going back into the material world again. So one day, if we can be lucky to go down that road, it'll be scary. It'll be a lot of fear. It'll be very scary. We may even freak out. There was one devotee there, the senior Prabhupada disciple, that went there to leave this planet in Vrindavan. And they told me, he was a devotee for many years, that, you know, they got him to go there after preaching to him. I mean, he didn't want to go. I won't say who the devotee is, but at one point this devotee was in a hospital. And when one devotee went there to go visit him, he was watching TV in his hospital bed. And he was going to die. He was actually going to leave. And the devotees came in there. After this, they came in by numbers. And they kept telling him, no, no, don't do this. You're going to sit here and watch TV and go where? Where will you go? You're watching TV in a hospital bedroom, in bed. And so finally he agreed. So they more or less had to buy him a ticket. They had to give him an aid. He had to take somebody with him. So he went to Vrindavan. And they got him in the room there. And They were starting to take care of him, but he actually freaked out. He freaked out so bad that he got up one day when I think it was like class time, devotees went around, and he started running down the street towards Delhi. He wanted to go to Delhi, and he started running down the street. He couldn't even wait for a taxi. And they finally caught him. They didn't know what happened to him, but they said they started asking questions, and the local people said he's running down the street. Can you imagine? And so he was running and running, and they got into a car, and they caught him in the street. And he didn't want to get in. He just couldn't believe that he was going to die. So they actually forcefully put him back in the car. And they took him back to the temple. And he died 1 week later in Vrindavan. This is the mercy of devotees. And this is how difficult it is. So we've said many, many, many things about Gauridasi. But today I just wanted to dwell on that a little bit. Just to show you that, or help you at least see that this is not an ordinary soul, regardless of what we know about her or don't know about her, just by the mere fact of her being able to leave this material world, this planet, in Vrindavan, was glorious. Gauridasi ki jai! Jai! Okay, is there anyone else who would like to say anything? Help me out here, just for a few more, for a few more minutes, and then we'll... Yeah, can I don't have my glasses. You want to read it? I don't think your glasses are strong enough. Are they? All right, pretty cool. I can't really read this. You want to read it? I can't read it. I wouldn't do it any justice.
This is a letter dated April 17th, and it's addressed to Karuna Mataji, Karuna Dharani. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and all glories to Srila... Couldn't read that, it's a little too scribbly. I hope things are going well for you, and... you are maintaining your treatment. I'm sorry. You're maintaining your steadiness in Sankirtan, in spite of the difficulties of beginning householder life. The main thing is, no matter how difficult things seem to get, to not externalize the difficulty and blame others, and then become fault-finding towards the other devotees, or even towards one's guru. This is actually the biggest problem most of us have. Somehow or other, we have become free from the tendency to criticize others. We have to become free from the tendency to criticize others. And that is very hard, and requires much sincere application or supplication to the Lord for help. I know this is my biggest anartha, and what I pray most to Radharani to become free from. I'm sorry it has taken me so long to answer your very nice letter. I appreciated it very much. At that time, I was still too sick to write to anyone, and then later so many devotees came through I couldn't make this out. I had went into associating with them rather than writing letters. Mother Vrindavan which is Mother Vrindavan Vilasini, Tushti, Palika, had left a couple of days ago, and now actually everyone else has also left. They were among the last devotees I know to come through. From now on, Vrindavan will be very, very quiet and very, very hot. My health is actually coming back, although I certainly never expected to pull through this. It is not quite apparent that in 6 months to a year, the cancer will have stopped all of its activities in my body, and I should be considerably stronger and healthier looking also. Of course, I don't expect to have the same energy, and my right leg my right lung Maybe a little bit damaged. But I'll still be able to preach at least. At least part-time in the West. Probably 2/3 of the year. I'll remain in Vrindavan and try to preach by writing. For now, I am working on some essays on developing the preaching mood. Ramaswar encouraged me a lot in this way, and I'm going to try and see what Lord Chaitanya wants out of it. Maybe by the time I come back to LA, sometime in the beginning of next year, we can try door-to-door book distribution, set distribution together, if you're interested. We are going to have first-class books from England printed just like the Italian and French and Spanish copies. That is eventually, I guess. I do not know how soon I will be in Los Angeles, but that will be for set distribution. Anyway, in the meantime, keep distributing big books and preaching on their merit, as well as covering all the special events of the biggest in the biggest way that you can. All the plans I have heard of expanding the preaching and prasadam distribution in Los Angeles sound very ecstatic, and I hope you're right in the middle of the fire. Please give my obeisances to Jagadisha, I believe. Jagadish. I am sure he is glad to not have to have me around bugging him all the time. I'm hoping to be back around next year for a couple of months, if not a little sooner, possibly, and I don't know what it says here. In any case, whenever you have a chance, write me and let me know how your program is going and how things are in New Dwarka. Your servant, Mother Gauri. We can understand that she had some difficulty writing this, so it's a little bit difficult, but the message is there. Gauri Dasi ki jai.
Anybody else?
I think what was cool about that letter was that she actually was in a very terrible situation. In the condition that she was in, most people, if they had a remission, they would think about going to all the, like they have a, they call a bucket list. And she'd probably try to go and have a vacation somewhere, but her bucket list consisted of just going out, traveling Sankirtan, book distribution, set distribution. Pretty incredible.
That's right. I know that my friend Vidya Dasi, she was there when in Vrindavan taking care of her in her last days. And it's too bad we don't have some photos. She has some photos of her and Gauri in those last weeks and months. But I know when, as Vidya has told this story many times, so I don't know all of the information. It would be great to have her come next year and tell her own experience. But what I do remember of her experience with Gauri is that, you're right, when she rallied and went into remission, even though in so much pain, she was always planning, well, what we're going to do now for spreading Krishna consciousness. She said that one of the things that she always lamented she couldn't have as she got sicker was her steamed vegetables. Apparently, she just loved to have steamed vegetables, and got to the point where she couldn't really eat anything at all. And they would make for her popsicles with fruit, fresh squeezed orange juice, and then they would freeze them, and that was pretty much all she could have. And I can't remember whether these deities were in her room, but she had a set of Radha Krishna deities in her room that it was, So I didn't know that they brought them back and forth there. So, right. Okay. So she took them with, okay. Yeah. Right. Right. So she would in her pain kind of lay on her side. She was so emaciated. In the photos, she's just so thin and able just to gaze. That was her whole vision as these deities. And at one point, Vidya said that she, her eyes closed, and she thought as the breathing deepened that she had gone. She had died at that point. And all of a sudden, she opened her eyes and kind of sat up, and she said, "Oh, this is really intense." And then she kind of flopped back down and, went on. It was another either day or by evening, kind of labored breathing. And then at one point she sat up and her eyes, it was like she had left this material world. Her eyes became kind of enlightened or light, and no more pain. You know, it was like she had crossed over into something or let go, and then she died. So it was just a really interesting thing to journey. I know Vidya talks about how you could go to a certain point, but when she crossed into this other dimension, it was like there was something that separated you from where she was now in another domain. So just pass that along. That's all I know.
Okay. Anyone else like to say something? Tadit.
I don't think this story's been told. I last saw her in April of 86 before she left, and I had learned to cook from Palika, who had cooked for Prabhupada. And so she wanted me to teach her how to cook, and this was just 2 months before she's leaving her body. So we couldn't figure out how to do that in her room in Vrindavan, but I would explain the recipe to her. We would go through Prabhupada's recipes, and I'd explain to her how to do it and tell her what it looked like. And then she'd tell us, okay, now you all leave and come back in 2 hours. And then she set up a little cook stove in her room and would cook the preparations exactly, perfectly, just how Prabhupada cooked them, just by hearing it. And we were saying, you know, you're the one with cancer. You're going to leave your body, and here you're cooking for us. But this went on for about a week, and it was really such a really sweet, ecstatic exchange. But she wanted to cook for Radha Govinda just how Prabhupada would have wanted to have it. I don't think we told that story before.
Yeah. Hari Bol.
I was very fortunate to have the association of Mother Gauri. As a newcomer, as a new bhakta, just beginning to learning the process of distributing Krishna literature to the conditioned souls, I was bewildered and confused and not sure of myself, and I didn't know how to relate to people. But just by watching her, how she was moving among the crowd of different varieties of people, businessmen, soldiers, young people, I was fascinated to see the conviction, faith, determination, and I was just, I was seeing her as a mother because she was wearing white cloth at that time. And she was watching me once in a while and see how confused I was. So she would come and said, because by the way, distributing books sometimes is not difficult if you're just going to give the book. But you know, we want some reciprocation, so I had a hard time to ask for money. So I can talk to them, to the people, and just give the book, but to ask for donation, that was like hard for me. It's like, how am I going to do this? So she saw that on me many times, and she said, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement, and all these conditioned souls are going to hell. If you don't have that faith and conviction, how are we going to help these people? So when she said that, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. But still, in spite of that, I didn't have what she had. And I was admiring her all the time, going, moving around. So that was something that I always appreciated, that actually she had that faith and conviction in distributing these books, and that everything is for Krishna. And if you have that faith, you can do anything. Another time, I had the opportunity to see Mother Gauri in a big event that we had, the LA Street scene, where maybe like 30 or 25 devotees, we will go out. But most of us, because we were fundraising, we were doing paraphernalia, just a little flowers here and there. The Matajis will do that, and we'll do some stickers. And anyway, I never liked that paraphernalia personally. But at one moment, in among the crowd, I saw Bhagavad Gitas passing by, big hardbound Bhagavad Gitas, and I was like, wow, who's distributing Bhagavad Gitas? And then I was looking, who is that person giving Bhagavad Gitas? And suddenly when I spotted Mother Gauri, she was distributing Bhagavad Gitas. And I was like, oh, this is so nice and so good. Here's a person who has a conviction and faith and determination. Of course, but this time she was already really feeling the urgency and the need, because her body was getting sicker and sicker. So that's how I remember Mother Gauri, as a person who had faith, conviction, determination that we all need to spread Krishna consciousness. And a good example for this community is one of our members here in our times that we can see. Sometimes we read from literatures that great sages or great personalities, very good. But when you see one among the peers, someone who is around you, then your faith can increase too. Mother Gauri Dasi Ki.
Jai. Anybody else? We got one more, if there's anyone.
Well, my first experience with Gauri is when I first came to New York, the Henry Street Temple, and she kind of took me on, which was pretty hard for her because I was such a rascal, and she was very stern, fixed. And I really appreciated it because she really trained me up properly. And my first service was to do the vases. And so every day the vases would come off the altar, and I'd have to polish them every day. Every day. And the flowers were changed every day, and the vases were polished. And she made sure that I did it. So I really appreciate her for helping me in those days, and being tolerant. And I also shared a room with her. And needless to say, she was very, very austere. So I thank her for giving me that training. And she was like an older sister. And she gave me a lot of love and a lot of nourishment in my early days. So I appreciate it. Thank you, Gauri. Thank you, Gauri. Thank you, Gauri.
Hari Bol, Gauri Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Hari Bol. Jai. Shari Rabi Jaja. Jalendriya Kai Ka. Jiva Pele Bushaya Sagare. Dharma De Jivayati. Loba Moisa Dhormati. Takeja Takatina Sangsare.